In the name of our Lord Jesus, who was born. Amen. God had used angels before to do some really important work of his, to announce, to protect his people, to warn, to guide, to sometimes to destroy, sometimes to comfort, and sometimes to serve. And these angels, when you read the incredible things they do in the Old Testament, you can see how powerful they are and how truly impressive they are. But barring prophetic vision, nothing like what happened in Luke 2 had ever happened before, had ever been seen by anybody in the history of the whole entire world. The number of angels, the display of heavenly glory, this had never happened before. This level of announcement, declaring what God delights for his people to hear, this is entirely new. So, given that level of announcement, the grandeur surrounding all of this, something incredibly major had to have happened, which these heavenly ones now had the joy, obviously, of proclaiming, but it wasn't the expected thing that at least people oftentimes look for. No meteor crashed into the earth having come from heaven, which served as like the vehicle for some highly impressive champion who obviously exuded from him unimaginable power that we can just see and behold like a titan towering over ants. It's maybe what you'd expect given the level of announcement, but that's not what happened at all. Not even close. A baby was born in a stable, and it's one of the most excellent and impressive and awe-inspiring things that's ever happened, despite how unassuming, how humble, and outwardly unimpressive it is. Very simply and poignantly, Luke says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son." The Son of God. And now, in time, in the fullness of time, the Son of Man. And in that occurrence, so many promises of grace and mercy and restoration, all the entire Old Testament culminates and is brought to bear in one grand but brief stroke of a pen, because the Lord of life, the Prince of heaven, who is the world's peace, came down. The Lord Almighty was born. And shepherds. Shepherds of all people were the first to hear about this. Shepherds who were just doing their thing, watching sheep at night like they had done for all of the other nights before. Shepherds were the first to hear about this, which seems like rather an unlikely target audience to receive an announcement of this magnitude and to receive it in this manner. People of zero social consequence, people who had no political clout whatsoever. The angels appeared to shepherds, not nobility. God loves to do that kind of thing, though, doesn't he? He lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. I mean, Mary, Jesus' mom, sang about that before he was even born, right? Think about what God did for all those women, how he honored them who traveled around with his son during the public ministry of Jesus. How did the Lord honor them? By giving the women the opportunity to see the angels then, sitting on the tombstone that had been rolled and flung away, and by making them the first to hear the announcement from those angels that Christ had risen, and then being the first to see him at his birth, it's shepherds. And even though it seems unlikely, that couldn't be any more fitting, right? God's son was quite literally just born in a barn. So for his messengers to appear and announce to shepherds who, unbeknownst to them by virtue of their occupation, had front row seats in the amphitheater of God's creation to hear and to experience the announcement of his son's birth. Well, that's just right. All of a sudden, an angel appeared completely out of nowhere, and God's glory surrounded everybody who was there, filling the darkness with brighter light, brighter day than anybody had ever seen or experienced before. And just think about the otherworldly nature of that. This is before any type of CGI, any type of special effect. They didn't have helicopters that could fly over and shine a spotlight down. This is entirely different and entirely new for them. So, of course, they had every right to be petrified, terrified. But the angel spoke away their fear. "Don't be afraid," he said to them, "because it's my delight to be able to announce to you and to everybody else the very best thing that you could ever possibly hear. Nothing will fill you and all other people with greater happiness and joy than what I'm about to say to you right now. And the great news that God wants you to hear is this, that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." What a thing to be able to say to people, right? That salvation had been born for them, that everything that God had said was coming true, and everything the angels had to say is incredibly meaningful. God came down, and God was born, and the angel uses one word that is super important for us. It says four. God was born for us. We are the reason that Jesus, the champion of heaven, left that majesty and left that glory and took on humble circumstances, which is exactly what God said through Isaiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." We are the people. Jesus, the one chosen by God to save everybody, came to save. This is the most significant birth ever, because this baby accomplishes the most significant thing ever for all people. He gives eternal salvation. And the angel even told them how to find this Savior, the one God had chosen, the Prince of Heaven. The angel said, "Yes, just go to Bethlehem. It's the baby who's swaddled in a barn and lying in a manger." Baby in a manger, lying in a barn, what in the world? The shepherds didn't even have time to process any of that seemingly unusual description for the birth of a king, because then this happened. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" This verse describes for us a pretty clear line of delineation between ourselves and God. God's in heaven, right? In the highest place of praise and glory and majesty that there could ever possibly be, and we are not. We're here. We're living in the ruin of a sin-corrupted world and lowliness. We're not like God. We don't have that majesty. We don't have that power. We struggle to overcome obstacles that, from God's perspective and according to God's ability, he can just skip right over without a second thought. And into this pitiful mess, our lowliness, comes the lofty, comes the very reason that the Father's face beams as brightly as it does. His one and only dearly loved son arrives. And why in all the world would he do that? It's for your peace. It's to put us at accord and in harmony with God the Father by taking away all sin. That's the definition of peace, isn't it? Sin ruins things between us and God. And so when that thing that ruins our relationship is just plucked up and completely removed out of the equation, when sin is gone, when it's a distant memory, what remains but righteousness, but being right with God? And those who are right with God, those who are righteous, not because of themselves, but because they believe in the baby who was born in a barn, well, those people go to heaven forever. This peace, Jesus, is for everyone. And everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs peace. Anybody have guilt in here this morning? Raise your hand. You don't have to necessarily. Raise your hand in your heart, right? Anybody have shame, regrets, anxiety, worry, fear, depression, isolation, loneliness, whatever it is, that's what Jesus is for. Maybe you have strained relationships with people. Maybe you have outright ruined relationships with people. Maybe you, very much on purpose in a moment of anger and hate, have deliberately burned bridges with people so that the relationship seems next to impossible to repair. This is what Jesus is for. It's why he came, to fix all of the things that we break, to make everything right, and just to forgive. And from that forgiveness, to give peace, real actual peace. And it's for that reason, the salvation of humans, that the shepherds praise God as powerfully in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, to a bunch of nobodies, as they do. Being able to say to a person that God came down in the flesh to deal with our sins, to fix what hurts and separates us from one another, is the absolute best way to achieve peace from one person to another that I've ever heard of before. And I challenge you to present to me a better way. But I won't hold my breath, because I guarantee you're not going to find a better one. All the ruin of all the people is undone by Jesus, because the sin that caused the ruin in the first place is taken away by him. So that's our praise too. We praise God powerfully because he's done the most loving thing and the most gracious thing for us. God has taken away our sins by causing all of the fullness of his eternal, infinite, everlasting love in time to take on human nature, to become subject to time and all the other regulators that govern our existence in this creation, so that we could have life without limit. Life to the very highest degree. Now, did you know that announcing this is exactly what God has made you to do? This is like one of your core purposes for being alive in this world. When the Holy Spirit washed you in water, in the Word, and in that process through faith, when he dunked you in the blood shed by the child who was born at Christmas, this became your life's work. So let's not let reluctance or the taking of grace for granted get in the way of announcing that beyond great news to people. We shouldn't let it do that. We know we shouldn't be hesitant or reluctant to say this stuff, because what do we have to fear? We're only saying incredibly great things to people, but reluctant we are. Take grace for granted, we do. And then we clam right up. But we try to make justifications for it too. We think to ourselves, maybe we even say to God, like in a casual conversational prayer, say, Lord, you know this person. this person is going to be really tricky to share my faith with. They're going to be really tough to announce the beyond great news that is eternal life and forgiveness and salvation for everybody to, because of this reason and 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 this reason. Doesn't that sound reasonable, God? No. No, it doesn't. Not even close. Let the fact that God forgives us for our stubbornness to share the gospel of Christ born, crucified, and risen spur us on to live it anew in praise of him who called us from our darkness of sin and death into his wonderful light of life. That's true for you. So praise God like the angels did. All creation praises God who saves with everything it has, because all creation before the birth of Jesus had been holding its breath in yearning, in expectation, longing for the Savior to come and make everything right. And when he does, this is what the exhale sounds like. All angels, all people, all instruments praising God because he remembers his love and his faithfulness to the ends of the earth. So the psalmist leads us, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. God has worked out your salvation. What could be more marvelous than that? So praise God for the wonderful things that he has done. And if singing isn't your thing, it's not always mine. I don't always hit the high notes or the low notes or the middle notes. So if singing isn't your thing, that's okay, because you can do this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. You can do that, right? Scream at the top of your lungs with a happy tone, of course, because God has made salvation known to you, that in general, God and people are reconciled through the person of Jesus who came down from heaven, but that is true specifically for each one of you. So be an angel. Be a messenger. That's what angel literally means. Be like the angels who appeared to the shepherds. And when you have an opportunity to say to one person or to say to a crowd, not everybody has a pulpit that they get access to. When you have the chance, don't hesitate to say to somebody, whatever it is you're afraid of, be at peace. Whatever it is that robs your soul of real comfort, be at peace. Because it's my delight to be able to announce to you something better than you're ever going to hear, something that will give you more delight, more joy, more happiness than you could possibly know what to do with, better than anything else, that Jesus, a real man, and also really God, was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. He's the Savior of the world. He takes away everyone's sins. He has put you right with God. Nothing would make me happier than you knowing this. Declare that to people with joy. Announce it with happiness, because you should always be appreciative of the wonderful news that you get to say. It's not just the angel's honor to be able to declare to people that today in the town of David, a Savior is born. That is your honor too. When the angels left, the shepherds ran off and found things exactly as the angels said they would. That God's Son, Son of Man, their Lord, the chosen one, the Messiah Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us, the great I am in the flesh, they saw held tight in the confines of a blanket. Then they announced what they saw, not because anybody told them to do it, but because it was so great that they couldn't help it. The joy at seeing the angels, and then even more at seeing their Savior, could not and would not be contained. They had to talk about Jesus. Has the goodness of that message changed from then to now? Has the joy that God was born to save people from their sins diminished in these couple of thousand years? It absolutely has not. So let your joy loose from the peace that you have been given from God and glorify God as high as you're possibly able to with all of who you are, exactly as you are because of who Jesus is. Your joy, your hope, your salvation, your life, your peace. Amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.